We're back to Neil Haley's show and also the Caregiver Dave celebrity segment. I'm excited to welcome him, Caregiver Dave and Sandy. Dave, how are you? I love this hat. I never thought a Californian would wear a hat like that. Are you?
Yeah, I feel like a Russian czar.
It seems like your background, you're in New York. It's crazy. But our guest today is Tracy Terrace. Tracy, thanks for stopping by. Counselor and much, much more. Kind of tell us how it all started for you, Tracy.
How? What all started? Becoming a counselor?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, I chose to become a therapist because I went to therapy for myself and it worked. So I left that experience feeling like, gosh, gee, everyone needs this. And at first I was just referring all of my friends and family to my therapist because she was awesome, Dr. Barbara Cohen. And then I got a nudge that I had a thought that you need to be a therapist. So I kind of ran it by my husband and three of my closest friends and let them know that, hey, this is a thought I just had. And all four of them said something to the effect of, I could totally see you doing that, or you would be so good at that, or yeah, go for it, something like that. So I applied to graduate school, got in, and here I am.
All right, Dave, what do you like to ask Tracy?
So you are a therapist.
Yes, a marriage and family therapist is the degree, the profession.
Mm-hmm. And you wrote a book?
I did write a book.
Mm-hmm. Let's talk about your book. Why did you write your book and what do you hope to have the readers get out of it?
Well, I wrote the book because one of the primary problems that I see in my therapy practice is people's belief systems. And they're believing all of the different voices in their head, the negative thoughts in their head and everything like that. And I know that there are other books out there that talk about reining in your thoughts, but I thought I would put pen to paper to combine what I do in my therapy practice, which is something called CBT. It means cognitive behavioral therapy. Mm-hmm. And it's about your cognitions, like how to be aware of what you're thinking and how to change those thinkings. And it's a self-help book that's also Christian, but it's not just for Christians. So I put a lot of contemplative prayer and silence and meditation techniques in the book combined with the CBT practices to help people learn how to tune out the negative voices that play around in their heads and tune in to life-affirming, positivity, whatever is the truth with regards to where they are, instead of the negativity that swims through their heads, of our heads.
You know, and you talk about the negativity that swims through your head, and writing that book, was it affirming for you, especially your career as a marriage and family therapist, to say, okay, I'm going to write a book to really add a little bit more to reaching a larger audience than you were just, you know, in your practice?
Yeah, the kickoff for the book was a family crisis of my own. One of my baby sisters, I'm one of six. I'm the oldest girl. I'm one of six girls. We have four boys, but she went through a crisis. She had a stroke in her late 30s. And so four of us from here from California flew to Texas to help her with that. And we all kind of responded to it in different ways. And the way I responded to it was to roll up my sleeves and get to work. Like I wanted to get in, play some social services for her. But during the process of that, I just started feeling all this anxiety and tension and fear. And what was coming up for me that I didn't realize at the time was a memory of when my mom told me that I was going to die young. She traced a palm on my hand. She traced my palm with her finger and said, oh, you're going to die young. So I kind of had that belief in the back of my mind for years. And my younger sister having a stroke at 37 and coming at least close to death brought that up for me on a subconscious level. Like it's something I already dealt with in therapy and in prayer and meditation and stuff, but I didn't know it was deep down in there. And so I thought, me as a professional that does this every day and that has, I've already done my own work, and what must this be like for other people that have deep-seated beliefs and thought systems that are navigating their life and they don't even know it? So it was more from the standpoint of that, of this is what I'm going through and this is what I'm believing about myself. It really helped me to navigate, to really think about, well, what do I believe? Do I still believe I'm going to die young? And I didn't really believe that, but it was still niggling in the back of my mind. So I really had to examine it and decided to put together a book. Because a lot of times when something works for me, I will think everyone needs this or other people need this. Yeah. And so that's really what it was, the driver to writing the book.
Yeah. You know, let's talk about those voices, because everybody hears voices. Is there a way to find out who's talking to you? I mean, it could be God, it could be the devil, it could be just us. Mm-hmm. What's your theory of how to deal with the voices? Because well, in your case, you know, you had some deep-seated voices from your subconscious telling you something, and you believed them as true, and they're coming back to haunt you, self-sabotaging, you know?
Yes, exactly. And that's the analogy I used in the book. I grew up with four major broadcast networks, ABC, NBC, CBS, and PBS. There was cable at the time, but we didn't have cable in my home. We had those four networks to choose from. Mm-hmm. And if we were watching television, we were tuned into one of those. So I thought, you know, what are the major networks that most people deal with? And number one is self, like be your own insecurities or things that you've believing or have been told about yourself. Number two is Satan, and Satan's the enemy of our souls, the adversary, you know, the being that doesn't want you to become who you're created to become. Number three is society, and society could be media, social media, any form of information that's coming in from out there to tell you things about yourself that may be true. Sometimes society is very helpful and positive, and then it may not be true. Like when you're comparing and disparaging yourself because of what you're seeing in society, then that's not helpful. It's coming from the negative part of society. And then the savior, like, you know, I believe that we all come from a creator, God. And so all of those voices compete. And yes, the savior does compete as well, but it talks about, you know, God's voice is kind of a still small voice, whereas all of these other voices are super loud and intrusive and demanding, whereas, you know, God's voice will suggest, and it's up to you to choose. So in the book, I teach people how to differentiate between all four voices and how to turn down or off the ones that are not supportive and affirming, and tune in to the voice that is supportive and affirming. And that's why the book is called Many Voices, One Truth.
Yeah, I totally agree. And it's interesting you put a fourth voice. That's the voice of society, right? What's mm-hmm. expected. Good. I like it.
Yeah.
Now,
yeah.
Dave, you have a caregiving question to finish up the...
Yeah. You know, talk about strokes. My wife had a stroke at the age of 52, mm-hmm. lost mm-hmm. her speech, became paralyzed on one side. Our life turned upside down. The grief process. We almost broke up. I had to write mm-hmm. a letter saying, I don't think I can do this. I can't be with you. But I hung in there, and we reinvented ourselves, and she slowly became herself again, and our love was rekindled. And now I'm Dave, the caregiver's caregiver. Now I'm speaking on TV, speaking on stages all across the country, doing wellness, caregiver wellness retreats in Acapulco to help those 30% of caregivers that die before their loved ones do stay alive. How has caregiving touched your life?
Oh, in a tremendous way, right at the start of, well, I'm glad you stayed with your wife, and I'm glad you guys are together and you turned it into something that could be used for others. Mm-hmm. But caregiving has affected my life in that at the beginning of COVID, my husband had to have an emergency surgery. He didn't have COVID, but right when the shutdown happened, his tummy blew up, and it looked like, you know, one of those things you see on television. And he had something obstructing his bowels. So he had to have major surgery to remove that, where his stomach was actually on the outside of his body. And I, at the beginning of COVID, I was a therapist, but I suddenly became a school teacher because my daughter had to take her schooling online, and a nurse because my husband, you know, I had to take care of him because he had no abdominal strength to even lift himself up. And you know, and so I suddenly found myself preparing like 3 to 6 meals a day, where we had always been kind of, my husband would always do breakfast. We would always be out on our own for lunch, and whoever arrived home first would do dinner. So I might, you know, maybe cook one meal a day. So I went from that to cooking 3 to 6 meals a day, because sometimes he would need snacks and he needed strength. So I really had to just kind of dig deep to be able to take care of him. And part of digging deep meant calling on people that I knew. I knew I had a few friends that were nurses. One of my closest friends, she's like gotten the top nurse award in LA 2 years in a row. So she would come out and show me how to care for the wounds and how to care for, you know, his intestines and things like that. And if it weren't for her and a couple of other nurses that live nearby, I don't know how I would have done it, you know. So
excellent.
Well, if I started caregiverdave.com, I would recommend, if you know any caregivers that are burned out, you send them my way and I'll get them fixed up.
Oh, well, I absolutely will. Caregiverdave.com.
Yeah, you definitely.
I wish I knew of you in 2020.
I wish I knew of me in 1996.
Yeah. And you're, Tracy, you're in LA, located in LA? Are you?
Yes.
Yeah, both you and Dave.
Yeah, I'm in LA too, Santa Clarita. Where are you? Yeah.
That's where I am, in Santa Clarita.
No way. We got to.
I live in Valencia.
Hook up for coffee or something. I'm in Castellan.
Oh my gosh, yes. Yeah.
I own the mobile station right up. I own the mobile station right there in Castaic on Lake Hughes Road and Interstate 5 since 1979.
Whenever we go to Castaic, we get off on Lake Hughes Road.
You guys will definitely have to connect. I'll connect you guys both.
Yeah, let's connect.
Yeah, give him my information and let's have dinner with our spouses.
Absolutely. Wow, it's a date.
All right. Yes. I will put that together. Thank you again. I appreciate it, Tracy. Best place to purchase, we can purchase your book. Where can we go?
Amazon.com. The title is Many Voices, One Truth. But if you put in my name, Tracy Taris, TRACYTARIS on Amazon, it'll pop up. But it's also on BarnesandNoble.com as well.
Thank you, Tracy. Appreciate it.
Thanks. We'll get in touch.
You're listening and watching The Neil Haley Show. We'll be back in just a moment.